Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 1. All right, what are we doing? Come on. Oop. And on. All right. Everybody keep Brother Bob in your prayers. He's preaching for Brother Matthew Bray today. So, and Tracy Cash's father died this morning. So, keep him in your prayers. I'm keeping it close at hand. Yep. Well, we were waiting. Now let's go ahead and get started. It's the drag ends have drug in. All right, Hebrews 11. Just like I said, remember Brother Bob. He's keeping his Bible close handy, he said. So remember him in your prayers. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, what? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. Now, they obtained a good report, but they didn't obtain perfection. They just believed. They had faith for their time. You say, did they have Holy Ghost faith? Yeah, but they didn't have new birth faith. We're going to talk about that maybe a little bit. You say, oh, what's different? Well, Luther had faith, didn't he? He had faith in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Right? He had faith for his time. He had faith for what he could see. He believed that the just shall live by faith, and God stamped it and said, that's it right there. That's the faith I need right there at this moment. I don't need the faith of one God or that right now. That's God winked at the ignorance of man and the ignorance of people in denominations and things like that. He winked at that. But he had faith, yes, sir, faith for the time. All right? So these people had faith for the time. Abraham had so much faith, he just believed God. But he didn't have new birth faith, because new birth faith in this hour takes you to the pure word of God. Everybody got that? So it's in stages.
They didn't have the word.
They didn't have the word to go with it. They had part of it, but they didn't have all of it. Okay? So that's what Brother Branham said the little woman at the well had faith for what? The time. Now, she wasn't a born-again Christian, but she had faith for the time. And the woman at the well had faith for the time that she needed it. All right, Bob said all is well, so just keep praying for him.
But look what Abraham did back then.
He had zero word, really. I mean, he just had the word of God telling him straight to go do something. That's why that Abraham's the father of our faith. He's the one that we're supposed to look to and say, regardless of any circumstance, I believe. Because he had plenty of circumstances. But he just said, okay, God, you said you was going to do it. The problem with us is we say, okay, God, you said you're going to do it, but I'm going to help you. That's our problem.
Amen.
We say, God, I just lay it in your arms, but now I'm going to help you a little bit. No, I'm going to figure this thing out for you. Abraham just got up and did everything God said. I'm sure he laughed at one time. That was a human man, Abraham, laughing at something that he looked and saw impossible, maybe for a split second, in his humanity. But down deep inside, he believed that what God said was going to come to pass. And he just walked. And one day, he walked right into what he saw. He walked right into that. And like Claude and I were talking a couple of days ago, we were talking about Abraham and Melchizedek. The reason he could call him my Lord, he'd already met him. He met him on the road for the slaughter of the king. Right? So he saw the man Melchizedek. Right? Then when he saw the three men coming, he said, my Lord, well, that was the same man that told him, said, your name is now Abraham, not Abram. So he believed because he saw what happened in his journey. He saw what happened in his life. He saw what happened in the time that he was living, that God was leading him. And he just, you know what he done? He understood that it was God leading him. I believe that's what Abraham, he just understood that God picked him. God's one that's going to do this. God said I was going to have a baby, so I'm just going to have a baby. And I'm not going to sit all day and worry about me getting older. And I'm not going to worry about me and Sarah not having relations with each other because it got worse and worse. Didn't get better and better. It got worse and worse. But remember, when he met God, that was what Claude and I were talking about. When he met God, he knew it. So he knew he met God. So you got in your journey somewhere, you got to meet God. And then you got to know that you meet God. Well, then he's going to call your name or change your name to Christian or change your name to adopted. There's a lot of different things that you got to look at here in this age that they didn't have to look at. Abraham didn't have to worry about being an adopted son of God. Because remember, Abraham didn't do any miracles. Did he? He didn't do a miracle one. John the Baptist didn't do a miracle one. But John was the greatest of the prophets, and Abraham was the greatest of our faith. Yet not one miracle was done. Now, God did a miracle to Abraham. But Abraham physically didn't, I mean, not physically, but spiritually, he didn't raise up Lot's wife. Remember, she turned into a pillar of salt. But he went and got Lot. He was looking after his brother-in-law, or cousin, whatever it was. But he was looking after him, right? But he never done a miracle. In other words, there was nothing done through his life that he called a squirrel into existence or that he called this one into existence or that one into existence. He didn't have any of that. Show me the miracle. Now, God did a miracle to Abraham in his whole life. And we look back at Abraham and we see that it's a miracle every day that he walked. But he didn't see it, I don't believe, until he come to a place to where he woke up that morning and his body was changed. That was the realization that now I can produce that child. Physically. I'm talking about physically. Spiritually, he produced it. Brother Brown said he started buying the booties and the bird eye 25 years earlier. Spiritually, he was ready for it. See, that's the way with you and I. Spiritually, we may be ready for something. But now this part right here works on, you say physical? Yeah, it works on the physical part of you because it's your spirit and your body. Your soul should be redeemed. Your soul should be put in a place. But it's your spirit and your body is what's controlling, and it is, sorry, your spirit and your body controls your soul 90% of the time. Right? It controls you 90% of the time because we live in this world. We're not all, hey, if all y'all are living in some spiritual realm 90% of the time, I want to walk with you just for about a day. And we'll find out whether you are or not, whether you think that's what that is or not. You understand what I'm saying? So let's just be real. That 10% of the time we walk in a realm of God, 90% we walk in a realm of spirit and body. Because the body really does nothing but what the spirit tells it to do. It's the motivator to tell the body what to do. All right, so we're dealing with the soul of man. Now, we've come to a place where Brother Ram said the soul's born again. We know that because Peter says we are sitting in heavenly places. Well, the Bible does, in Christ Jesus. And then Peter tells us, says, having this divine nature, add to that. In other words, add to your faith. So faith is a revelation. It's a substance. It's something that you have now that's not like what Abraham had. In the degree, you hear me? In the degree. It's the same Holy Ghost. But Abraham was not a cleansed son of God. Sorry, his soul was still black. If it wasn't black, he was a born-again son of God. And no, there's none of those in the New Testament. Jesus had all that with him when he came here. Old Testament. Because Jesus, the death of the testator, that's why it had to be a New Testament. He said, a New Testament in my blood. Because he held that Holy Ghost. Right? That's what he said he was. I and my Father are going to come back, the Comforter, so he knew he was the Holy Ghost. But he had it all bottled up inside of him. And then he had to release that life when he died. That's why Christ had to come. Now, when he come and released that life, he brought Abraham and all those Old Testament saints because they had faith, good faith, for their time. Because I want you to read. Now, look at all these people that have just tremendous faith. All right, but look over here. Go to verse 38. This is explaining of whom the world was not even worthy for them to be here. That's how great God thought of them. What, all these people in the Old Testament? Gideon, Barak, it tells you all of them. Isaac, Abraham, Moses, Joseph. You hear me? But now watch. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, a good report, receive not the promise. Now, in my Bible, I put an arrow close by it, and I wrote new birth, because that's what it is. They did not receive the new birth. They are not, or ever will be, sons of God, as far as a lineage of God. Does everybody understand that? Say amen. Amen. If not, say oh me. All right? Jonas? No. But you understand that because they can't have the Holy Ghost in their soul. There was nothing to burn it out. They were still under bulls and goats, which covered it. It covered their sin until Christ come to not just cover it, but do away with it. But they were already dead. You can't see how Catholicism can work here, even in the message of the hour. The people, there's a lot of people in the message, and I've had arguments, whatever. That they said that the people in the Old Testament had a new birth just like we did. No way, people. No way. The Bible says no. I say no because of my confession and the way I see it. And God says no. He said right here, receive not the promise. Now how are you going to go past that? Well, see, and even Brother Branham, well, even the Bible calls Abraham a friend of God, not a son of God. Never will be. They will never be sons and daughters of God. They never will be bride. Find me one quote where Brother Branham called Abraham a son of God. I don't think there's one. Find me one quote in the Bible where they said Abraham was a son of God. No. Well, listen. What happened was in the Old Testament, if you'll read back where it gives you the lineages, it's in Luke or Matthew, one of the two. There was only one son of God in the Old Testament, and that was who? Adam, because Adam was imparted eternal life in the garden. His soul was given eternal life in the Garden of Eden, because you know why? He was Christ. He was the one that was going to produce all the children down through time that were born the right way. Did everybody understand that? But what happened was Satan took the beast, saw the natural act could be produced, so he just blocks it. Well, from then on, God cannot bring anything clean through something unclean. So Eve's womb was polluted. That's why the serpent seed is not just sex. It's everything that is involved in this message. Absolutely. He gave him that, and Eve was inside of him, so she got it too. Okay? So that was the only way that God was going to bring me and you, sons and daughters of God, kids, lineage, offspring. That's the way we were supposed to come. But when Satan did what he did, he didn't destroy the plan of God. He just cut it off for a little while. He just took where God couldn't go any further, because remember, God cursed the ground, and that's where our bodies were. God cursed the ground, so no further. So what did he do? He took that book. The prophet said he took the book. What is the book? The book of names of the eternal. Not every name, but the eternal part of the book. The Lamb's book of life. Adam was going to be able to produce that. Well, when that stopped, God took the book back. Title deed, he took the book back. So you and I couldn't be born that way. And he held that book all the way till he was born a baby. Then when he was born a baby, that Holy Ghost came in that baby called Jesus. He didn't have to receive something to be God. He was God. Okay? If he wasn't, he was another person. I don't understand that. But people in the message the same way. They preach the same thing, that Jesus was just a man until God indwelled him. I don't know. The Bible says he was born Emmanuel, God with us. So he was born God with us. They're not going to be able to, all of them, live inside the city like Daddy's been talking about. You only got inside that city, you got 144,000 eunuchs, which is the 144,000 that's going to give their life when we leave, right? And the bride, that's it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all them may have a position somewhere because they're patriarchs, but the rest of these others, even Moses, going to have to live outside the city. He can't live inside that city because he's not family. That's correct. The New Testament, you will. But let's take the Old Testament. People in the Old Testament will not be living inside that city. That future home is just for the bride and the 144,000, period. Now, they can come in, but they got to go out. They're going to live outside the city and be eternal. But when Moses died, he did not have eternal life in his soul. When Abraham died, he did not have eternal life in his soul. So they weren't born again. So to me, that's very simple. Okay? No, you got the two cities wrong. That's why I'm gonna do a thing, and they're gonna help me do a PowerPoint presentation of what's in the millennium and what's in the future home. Because remember, Daddy hit it kind of fast. He said there's certain things can be here that's not here. Well, in the city down here in the millennium, yes, the fifth sealed Jew, that's just gonna be their natural city. But now the future home is, let me explain it like I explained to Brother Mark yesterday. The millennium, we're just there as bystanders. Let's just do it humanly, just plain. You and I are going to the ball game, and we're going to sit in the stands. Spectators. The millennium is only to the Jews. It's promised to the Jews to have the Son of David sit on a throne in a temple, a city. There's going to be a city built over there, a physical city, and somebody's going to build it. Everybody understand that? Bible says they'll build houses and inhabit. That's not future home. Totally separate. John 14 is the future home. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. John didn't see the city coming down and people building. It was already finished. Because that's where you and I are going to live. See, that's the difference. No, that fifth sealed Jew, from my understanding, he's going to have to live outside the city because he was given eternal life later on for something else to show the grace of God. But as far as I can read from what Brother Branham said, the 144,000 will be eunuchs to the bride, servants, attendants inside the city, and you and I are the only people who's going to live in the city. It was built, the future home was built just for the bride. That's what I was trying to say yesterday to Brother Mark. The millennium is not, actually we have no connection to the millennium at all. We don't. We come riding back in the millennium. The Jews are building the temple. The Jews are doing the worship. The Jews are doing this. And somebody's going to live 1,000 years. We're already eternal. We're not going to prove that the 1,000-year curse is over. We prove it here. Okay? We prove it here. Because we are imparted eternal life in our soul, part of God. Everybody got that? Everybody got that? But they're not. They have to be given eternal life. as an impartation, they're given eternal life. And they live in the millennium, and there's going to be people living in the millennium that's not eternal. Got to be that heathen that's raised up. Somehow has got to have the gospel preached to them. Somehow, even the Bible says a child will die 100. You hear all that? That's not future home. That's a millennium. Because a future home, when that thing's done, it's sealed. It's finished. When that city comes down, see, even in the millennium, you got the devil still around. He's not up here where we are, but he's around.
He's bound.
He's bound, but he's around. He's alive. His little imps or his little spirits are not going to affect us, but they're going to be still alive. Because remember, like Dad said, Gog and Magog, they're going to be raised up. They're going to make an army somehow and try to destroy us. Not going to happen, right? But in the future home, you don't have none of that fighting and building houses and... No, that's all done. The future home then, the future home turns, and it's to the bride, period. And the 144,000 as the eunuchs to the city. Does everybody understand that? See, so this really, we have nothing to do with the millennium. We're just there as a spectator watching the ball game. And the spectator does not produce the outcome of the game. We're just there to watch it. Yeah, we're gonna have some things to do, but it's not gonna be things pertaining to 1,000 years, because that's what the millennium is to prove that the sin curse is over. So somebody's got to live 1,000 years. Well, like I said before, when me and you leave this earth, when our bodies change and we're made eternal here, our 1,000 year is over. We're in eternity. If you'll go back and listen or read the future home. Brother Branham explains it. Watch him. See, because the seventh day, the seventh church age, goes all the way through the millennium. Now, I know he said the church age is over, but you watch him. He said that seventh day, time goes all the way through the millennium, because we're still in time. Days and nights and days and nights and days and nights all over the world. Things are going to be growing. There's going to be a lot of different stuff. That's correct. Absolutely. But watch. But they said, well, now, Brother Ram, you run out of your types. Remember when he was talking about the future home? He said, you've run out of your types. You only got seven. Seven sevens is 49. Jubilee's on a 50. He said, no, I have not. And he went back to Leviticus 20-something. I can't remember what it is now. I just read it just the other day. Somewhere in there. Remember, it calls an eighth day holy convocation on the eighth day, which is not an eighth day of the week. It's the first day, so it's a big circle. It's eternity. 7 days goes just like this. But when you put the eighth day in, it just keeps going like that. There's not an eighth day of the week. See, I've always said, you think Brother Bram talked about the Beatles being spiritual? What was one of their songs back in the 60s? 8 days a week. They picked up on that spirit and produced a song 8 days a week. Now everybody will be singing it all day long. Lord, forgive us all. Let's just don't start breaking out into a chorus, okay? But no, you see that? And just like Claude was talking about the fifth dimension, singing the Age of Aquarius, that spirit, hey, it's not just... Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. They get a piece of it. They don't get any of it as far as spirituality, but what did Satan do? He just twisted it just a little bit. So the eighth day was the future home. Because when that city comes down in Revelation 21 that John saw, everything's over. Remember Brother Bram said, time and eternity blends together. We're going to be in time right up till that future home comes down. Yeah. We're going to be in time. Just because we leave and go out of here doesn't mean time. No, that's the old seventh day. The millennium is still in the seventh day. When God rested that seventh day, that's still 7 days all the way to the white throne judgment. Then when all the judgment is over, Then Brother Brown said, time will blend into eternity. All right? But see, time blends into eternity for us here. Right now, you're living in the eighth day in your soul. Your body's still living in the seventh day. Is that too much for everybody? But I mean, it's simple for the for a lot that's been here forever. Daddy's preached on it for 30 years. That's correct.
Stay
the new birth.
The
yep.
Before they died.
That's correct. But see, they died. These people in the Old Testament died. They died with a good report. See, it says, and you know, not changing the Bible, said, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. So they had a good report. When they died, they believed in God. Now, see, they didn't get the seals and the plagues and the vials and the... Wasn't time for it. But what they believed, what God said, they believed it. You know, it's like Trudy said, what about Abraham? Abraham didn't have a study book to go by and say, okay, like we're studying now how to live and how to do things right. He didn't have one of those. He just lived his life. He didn't have a library to go to, or he couldn't press play. And to be honest with you, up until about 50 or 60 years ago, nobody else did either. I mean, you had Bibles and study books, but you didn't have the message of the hour to pull us in the right direction. That's why that in verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us. What is that some better thing? The new birth. To be a son and daughter of God, a total lineage of the Almighty. When the Bible says, follow me in the regeneration, what does regeneration mean? You've heard me preach on it. It's regening you. You were gened by your parents. You understand genetics? You were gened by your parents. I was gened by mom and daddy. This thing you see here. But if I'm born again inside, that was regened from above. That's why Jesus said, you must be born from above. What he was saying was, he was saying, you need to be regened. Because your genetics is going to kill you. Your natural genetics, we're going to the ground. But if you've got spiritual genetics, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what is that? That's the genetics of the Almighty. That's the genetics of God. That's not a like substance. The new birth is not a like substance of God. It is the substance of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's why when you read 2 Peter, you got to have the new birth first. That new birth changes your thinking. It regenerates or regenes you into a way where you can understand what your family's talking about. Because dad's your family member. Brother Dale, any preacher, any teacher, any minister, that's your family member. And they're telling you the part that you don't know about your family. They are telling you the part that you don't know about your family. Everybody got that? It's pretty simple, but it's the truth. That's what he's doing. And look at the population.
Just what Sister Fred was saying a while ago, we have an advantage that they didn't all have because they came before us.
Absolutely.
We have the advantage to learn what they knew.
Remember what I read last Sunday about they were given to us for examples to whom the ends of the world's come upon? See, we can look back to them and look at the trail that they blazed and see that Abraham made mistakes and Isaac made mistakes and Jacob made mistakes and all these other people made mistakes and characterize that with our life. Examples.
Yeah.
But now remember, you got to bring it up higher too, that Esther was not an example. She was the person.
Right.
When we got to the end of that, end of the scripture reading, she had all power and authority. Where was the king? His name wasn't even mentioned in the last chapter. It was Esther and Mordecai, Esther and Mordecai, Esther and Mordecai. So where did all that come? Well, that comes like Sister Regina said, that comes with the adoption. That comes with, real quick before we go, we're never going to get into these virtues. But look, if we build faith, we will. If we build faith in who we are, we'll get to adding the virtues. Let's get faith of where we are now. All right? So let me get my thought back. What were we talking about? Adoption. Adoption. All right, adoption means authority, right? That means that God has said, okay, you can handle it. Just like we were talking about Jonas. He has everything he needs to drive a car, even the dirty britches. He has everything he needs to drive a car, but what does he have? He's not responsible enough. So we as adults, we as the father, got it? I'm giving you a good example. Me as the father, I say he can't drive the car because I can't, if I give him that responsibility, he can't handle it. All right, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, now they were son. Now he's a son, he's a Canada. He's a Canada, okay? But I'm not going to give him my full authority, yet he's still a son. So being a son in the New Testament, being babies in Christ, that's what God does. And even in the Old Testament, he said, hey, what he's saying in the Old Testament, he's saying just like this right here. They have all obtained a good report through faith. All right, so that's what God was looking at. They believed in God, and that was it. Now, God could not, listen to me, God could not give them the keys to the car. Because they were irresponsible. Look at all the irresponsibility in the Old Testament. David, a man after God's own heart, but he murdered his best friend. Now, with a new birth, he'd have never done that. He committed adultery with his best friend's wife that he had killed. And there was a lot of things that David did that you can't understand. But if he'd had a new birth, he wouldn't have done that. So I see in the Bible two examples. One example, the way we're supposed to live. And another example of people that had God, but they were not responsible enough to do what he said. But now in the New Testament, that's what these virtues and all are for, is to bring a group of people that's already a little bit responsible, because we are in the family of God, and now God's ready to say, hey, you can take more because I'm going to give you more. There's more availability for you to have, so I'm going to give you more. Okay? All right, so let's go. It's time to go. We'll pick this up next Sunday. I reckon. You reckon we will?